now the ultimate power in the universe.
At last we will reveal our secret.
Hello there.
Oh, we're here. We're back, and welcome to Lightsaber Radio, your weekly hive of scum and villainy for anything and everything Star Wars. This week, to start our show off, we have what I have cleverly coined a Hothbreaker. Like an icebreaker, but you get the joke. You get the joke. Guys and gals, what is your dream job in the Star Wars universe?
My dream job in the Star Wars universe? To direct a Star Wars movie. To write and direct a Star Wars movie.
No. I mean, if Star Wars was real and you were in Star Wars.
If Star Wars
was the Emperor?
Real,
the Emperor. Ambitious.
The leading Jedi role, I guess. So I can feel
who would go against? Who would say anything different? I'm sorry, I want to be the bartender, Mos Eisley.
I want to be a droid that you see for 3 seconds. No, I want to be the main star. How about you?
I want to be the dumbass stormtrooper that gets flipping mind tricked to be like, that's not the droid, sorry.
No, I want to be a moisture farmer. Calm.
That's even peaceful. Worse.
Why is that work? Calm, peaceful, no war, no fighting, no death. Just
random
farming.
Sand people coming through, kidnapping your wife.
I want to be a Dark Lord of the Sith.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the answers, everybody. On today's episode, we are having a party for the Lego Star Wars Halloween special. Are we ready to be chilled and thrilled? Scared and unprepared? Let's go.
Yes. Yes, let's do it.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. I thought it had some funny parts. It had a little bit of horror, which, you know, at our age, it takes a little bit more than that to scare us. But it might scare some kids. I thought the animation was done real well. Had good music score in it. Sound effects was all good. The Foley. I liked it.
It was cute. I mean, it's hard to, be critical of a little kid's show.
That's true.
I find a way, but...
I loved that this entire episode leans so heavily into the dark side. Obviously, because it's Halloween and it's scary. But there was also some really interesting character choices and some new characters we were introduced to who I absolutely loved.
One of the things that I don't think that I didn't care for too much is the storylines that they use. If they had just used the storyline of him finding the artifacts and having the kid fix it, I think it would have been a lot better. But this is just like they used the Lost Boys, the Monkey Paw, and then they had Christian Slater playing Keaton Sutherland's part. It was like it just seemed like weird. It was like, oh, like what is going on? And it was a little confusing. And I think it would be confusing for kids because they're not going to relate to any of that stuff because they've never seen the Lost Boys or anything that had to do with the Monkey Paw. I think that came from the Twilight Zone. So, you know, when you're looking at stuff like that, they're not going to understand what that is. So I don't know what direction they were trying to take. Like I said, overall, it was cute. It was fun. But it just didn't really show a direction. It didn't I don't see how. I guess maybe they did it so it'd be appealing to adults and appealing to kids because the kids could relate because we've all seen Lost Boys and we've seen Twilight Zone and we've seen, what was the other one?
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. You ain't ever seen Lost Boys?
I haven't seen Lost Boys.
What is wrong with you? Both of y'all.
I was at a sleepover. I was about 9 years old. It was Halloween, and the girl whose Halloween party it was said that she wanted to watch The Lost Boys. So we all huddled together in front of the telly. About six of us made it 10 minutes in before we all burst into tears and had to run away. I have been traumatized ever since and haven't quite
that
been able
the, like,
to bring
least
myself.
Least scariest movie of all time.
I know.
But it is a good movie. It's a great movie. It's probably one of the best movies because it had a group of actors in there, and it had everything. It had, you know, love. It had horror. It had vampires. It was just a good movie for the time period. It was a great movie. Now it's probably just good.
I think particularly for this little sort of short, I guess it's a film. I think it was very much meant to be inspired by sitting around the campfire and telling scary stories at Halloween. And I really enjoyed the kind of little individual segments that we got to see. The first one was obviously pulled from The Lost Boys, but also heavily inspired by the comic book, The Fall of Kylo Ren, which I thought was really cool because that brought some kind of extended universe outside of the traditional canon in. And it, I also really enjoyed General Grievous versus Darth Maul. That was really fun fight choreography as well. That was so cool.
And it was funny.
It was really funny.
The Wookiee paw was my favorite. The Wookiee paw was legit funny. Like, that was actually funny.
Yeah, I liked it. I don't know. I'd probably give it, if I was going to rate it on a scale, I'd probably give it a good 7 out of 10. I'd give it a 7 out of 10. I think they could have done way better than that. They could have made it just way more appealing than that. But I think they did a good job. I think they, you know, they stole a little bit from, you know, a couple different things, a little Simpsons and the Halloween Simpsons specials.
Yeah.
And I think they took a little bit away from, you know, Lord of the Rings. And I think they just used a bunch of other people's crap and stuck it all together and made a Star Wars thing.
Yeah, they're going to get taken off YouTube.
Something.
Yeah, we did it. They said, man, y'all playing this crap on YouTube? Nah, man, copyright strike. You can't play this crap on here. No, but I liked it.
Yeah, something I really enjoyed, especially because obviously it's meant for the kids. Dean's story of like trial and triumph over another greedy hut. It was so cool to see that. Losing his fear and gaining his courage. And I think that was a really nice way to offset some of the horror or the more scary elements that the kids might have found a bit upsetting or frightening. I think it was really good for the whole family.
Yeah.
I think I'd give it an 8.5. I think I'd be really generous. I really, really had fun.
Is this in like a separate, like separate rating scale as like the previous things we've rated?
I have no idea. I forget what rating scale we use. We're not.
Are you saying that like, because I think we said like 7 or 8 for Bad Batch. So is this just as good as Bad Batch? Or is this kids' movie.
We're judging this like if you was a child and you was watching this, what scale would you give it as a child?
Kyle, I am a child.
Gotcha.
Okay. As an adult.
Understood.
You know,
understood.
As an adult, I'd give it like a 2. Like, what? This is crap. But you know what I'm saying? But as a child, I think children would like it. I really do. I think kids would like it. I had to let my inner childness come out.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Nurture your inner child.
So what is your inner child?
Okay. It is much better than most children's movies. Like, I'd rather watch this than Paw Patrol.
Yes.
So yeah, I'd probably say 7 or 8.
Aww.
Yeah, it was. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good.
But it ain't no Scooby-Doo.
Oh. Yeah, you can't. That's kind of. Scooby-Doo was actually had some scary ass ones. Like, what the hell is this? This is scary.
Dude, I remember as a kid, Scooby-Doo was 10 out of 10.
Absolutely. Kids TV when I was young was incredible. It is nothing like it is.
It's gone downhill a little bit.
I agree. Like Star Wars, could argue.
Good job. Yeah, good job, spooky Star Wars, for kind of bringing it back a bit.
Yeah.
The animation was just horrid back in the day. It was the animation got better, but the storylines got worse. That's what happened to cartoons. Yeah. Or we just all grew up and was like, this is stupid. Why am I watching this?
Well, Darius is being pessimistic.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that. He's like, swear, everyone... It's like everyone thinks that, but in reality, kids' TV sucks and always has. You're wrong.
I still watch cartoons. I love cartoons.
I'll still watch Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry's fire.
It's hilarious. Tom and Jerry, the Roadrunner, Coyote. It's just funny. It's just pointless, reckless humor because they just be just jacking each other up, and it's hilarious when they're doing it. It's so funny. There it is. Let's see. He said it's harmless fun, easily an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's good.
It was good. I liked it.
If you got kids, I would definitely watch it.
So what would you say was your favorite part about it? Your favorite thing that you liked about it the most? What would be your favorite one?
When Luke gives Darth Vader a little kiss.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. That was the funniest.
Wookiee's paw was the best.
Yeah.
I just wish they would have put in a little, like, a little hidden treasure and had Obi-Wan saying, I hate flying. They should have put that in there. I don't know why they didn't put that in there.
I also wish we saw Rey. I'm sad we didn't see Rey, because she was in the Christmas
one. That would have made Charlie's day.
I'm not too disappointed in that.
Who are you?
I think my favorite moment was, I would have to say, when he came out of the lava, because I was just like, holy crap, that was the most unexpected thing I had ever seen in this. I did not expect that at all, because you're not going to survive lava. This is not going to happen. You're dead. There's no reason. So that would be my favorite part. That was the only unexpected thing that I, the part that I hated the most, I'll tell you right now, when he chopped Vader's head off. That made me angry. You can't chop Vader's head off. Vader don't get his head chopped off. Maybe a hand, but you ain't chopping Vader's head off. Vader's too dope to get his head chopped off.
Maybe a hand.
That ain't gonna work. Can't lose his head.
Oh my goodness.
That ain't gonna work.
But yeah, it's solid. It's good for kids. The worst part for me, I don't know, all of it, all the rest, everything outside of the Wookiee part was the worst.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know, I wasn't the keenest on the whole kind of Vader hotel thing. It felt a bit too real world, if that makes sense. I think that sort of took me out of it a little bit. Like, it was like, oh, okay, real estate agents at a hotel in Star Wars.
It made me think of Disney as that hut guy. I was like, oh, that makes
sense. Oh my God, yes.
Just trying to milk money.
They will turn anything into anything.
Well, yeah. And the thing is about it, we haven't seen, what is it, Garbala the Hutt, however you say his name. We haven't seen him since the Freemakers. And the Freemakers was another Lego show. They had him in there.
Oh.
And that was the first time he's popped up since then. So it was kind of nice for them to bring back a Hutt, since I think all the other Hutts is dead. You know, they killed Jabba. And then they killed, in Rebels, they killed, what was that one? The one with all the tattoos all over his body. What was that Hutt's name? I can't remember his name. But I think they killed off all Zero. That's it. Thanks, Darius. But I think they killed off all the other Hutts that there was in Clone Wars and Rebels and all the other stuff. So, and then they killed off Jabba in Return of the Jedi. So I think he's the last Hutt. So it's kind of cool that he's a real estate agent. He's not like a serious crook. You know, we know real estate agents, a lot of them are crooks, but it didn't seem like he was doing nothing really bad. He was just trying to sell Darth Vader's palace to people, make people come to the worst place in the world or the universe to have a bed and breakfast. Come to Vader's palace hotel. Like, I don't want to go there. I'm not going to Mustafar. Man, Mustafar is nothing but lava. That just sucks. It's like lava and Vader's palace. That's it. That's all that's on the whole planet. Or the whole moon, because I think it's actually a moon to another planet.
Why are none of these my quiz questions this week? Damn.
I don't know.
Yeah. And how much does he charge? Probably the same amount as the new Disney hotel.
Yeah, I was going to say, new Disney hotel price, 5,000 galactic, 50,000 galactic credits. Who knows?
Probably like 100,000. What was it for that lightsaber? How much did I have to pay for a lightsaber?
Is.
I don't know. It's a lot. It has to be a whole lot.
That guy's going to be rolling in dope.
Oh, God.
He's gonna have a lot of money off of that. He's going to owe a lot of money off of that. A very lot. Okay, this seems like a great place to hear from today's sponsor. Do you want to live in a galaxy that is safe and secure? A galaxy free of war and tyranny? A truly free galaxy? Then enlist in the Empire's armed forces. You will get to travel the galaxy, see amazing worlds, meet different species, get the training you need to be a positive member of galactic society. All you have to do is go down to your local recruitment office and sign up. The Empire needs people like you. This message was approved by Emperor Palpatine. None of the statements above are true, and the Empire takes no responsibility if you are killed during an occupation of a planet to enslave its people and conquer its inhabitants. Join at your own risk.
I do love wonderful our sponsored segments. Oh.
Yes. And then I think, do we got anything else to talk about the show? Anybody got any more ideas or thoughts or funny suggestions or what they should do?
I think we reached a really nice, solid conclusion. I think that was really fun. I really enjoyed that.
Okay, well then let's get to some news and rumors.
Oh, you guys have no idea how much news we have to get through.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot of news.
I am, you know what? I think I'm going to go right in. I'm going to kick it off. On the 12th of October, Disney and Lucasfilm announced Bring Home the Bounty, which over the next few months will drop collectibles, books, apparel, and even possibly a new video game every Tuesday from now until December the 28th, right before the Book of Boba Fett. These items are inspired by every franchise. We've got Mando, Bad Batch, Skywalker Saga, Visions, and it's also a chance to celebrate the fact that it's the 50th anniversary of Lucasfilm coming up. We have already had product drops this week, which include a pair of Mandalorian-inspired Crocs. Don't know about you guys. I live in my Crocs. I love them. They are a fantastic piece of footwear. I will hear no argument.
I can't wear them.
Oh,
I cannot wear them. They hurt my feet so bad.
Oh, we've got a set of Ahsoka, Grogu, and Mandalorian-inspired sunglasses from Diff, a K250 and Moroth Funko Pop set. Oh, this is so exciting. Two retro card-backed action figures from Hasbro. We've got Boba Fett and the Mandalorian. They look so, so cool. They will be available for pre-order next week, I think. And this is the coolest thing, and I'm really, really debating buying one. It is a Lucasfilm 50th anniversary bomber jacket by Her Universe. And it's this gorgeous, like, dusky purple color, and it's got the Lucasfilm 50th anniversary embroidered on the back of it. It's so beautiful. There's more. For our listeners in New York City and LA, Disney are hosting a real-life scavenger hunt. You can head over to the Disney Products Instagram to join in, and you need to keep your eyes peeled for select UPS vehicles, which have been made to look like the treaded fortresses we see the Jawas drive on Tatooine. Those big trucks.
That's dope.
And I saw Garrison getting excited. If you look at the graphic that's been produced for this Bring Home the Bounty, it's like an icon for each week. On December the 14th, the icon is a gaming pad, which is leading people to think that there's possibly going to be a new video game drop.
I mean, a lot of talks about the new Star Wars video game that's gonna come out, and how can I say this? It's getting kind of tiring, because it's like every week a new video game coming out, and then no video game ever comes out. It's like, are you guys actually gonna drop this game?
That's true.
There's gonna be a game come out, because you've been saying there's going to be a game coming out, and there's no game coming out.
Yeah, I feel like that's really accurate. I feel like for forever we've been hearing rumors of video games, and very few video games ever actually come out.
I think every week we've talked about some sniff of a video game.
It's just me and Caesar are just getting very excited. We just need to relax. Just be patient.
I've got a bunch more stuff, but I'm going to let Garrison jump in if he's got.
All right. So the director for Star Wars Visions, The Ninth Jedi, in an interview, he confirmed that The Ninth Jedi was kind of a pilot episode, and then he'd love to do more and make it a full-on show, or at least a movie, he said.
Wow.
That would be dope.
Which The Ninth Jedi was pretty good. I would prefer The Elder, but The Ninth Jedi wasn't bad.
Well,
yeah, me too. I agree.
I would absolutely watch that, definitely.
CJ will be very excited, because I think Ninth Jedi.
Oh, bless. I feel like there's so much in this episode he could have gotten excited about. I feel so sad he's at work.
Yeah, dude, he would have loved this. Are you kidding? He would have rated it an 8 out of 10 on the adult scale. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then also kind of along with Visions, the digital soundtrack has been released. So if any of you liked Tatooine Rhapsody, I guess you can listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Banging that right in my Spotify favorites. Yes.
Please tell me not.
No, I'm just sarcasm.
I'm just kidding. you want me to go one more?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. This is my favorite piece of news. Charlie won't like it. But so Disney Plus's account on Twitter released a kind of funny joke. You know the red flag memes? Where it's like something, red flag, right?
Yes.
So they did one related to Star Wars. It was in Spanish, but they could translate it. The latest Star Wars trilogy is the best. Red flag emojis.
Look, I don't know what they're trying to say about the trilogy, but I'm not standing for it. It's too savage. It's too hurtful for me.
The Disney Plus Latin American account. That's pretty savage.
It is. Kyle, have you got anything for us this week?
Not really, though. I was just kind of reading something here that came out on Screen Rant. It's actually published 2 days ago, but it says why Luke, Han, and Leia had to all die for Kylo Ren's redemption. And I was just reading through it, and it's like that the three named stars had to all die for them to be able to get Kylo back to being Ben Solo. And
that makes no sense.
It is like, why? Like, why? I don't even care what the article says. There was no point in that. The original three should have lasted forever. They should all be, even though our wonderful and princess is gone in real life, there's no reason that they had to kill her off in the movie. They could have just left her there forever, and they could have just went on to doing what they were supposed to be doing. There was no reason. Yeah. I mean, and they did it in order. They really did it in order. They did Han first, then they did Luke, and then they did Leia. They killed them all off. They just popped.
Sad.
It just sad. Just ruined Star Wars. I know you don't agree, Charlie, but the sequel is ruined Star Wars.
You just wait till I get Sydney on here. Then you guys, you won't have a leg to stand on.
Let's go.
Boy.
Epic battle.
It will be an epic battle. I have a bunch more stuff. I'm just going to go. There were some Force Awakens rumors confirmed by Mark Hamill on Twitter. He confirmed that The Force Awakens was originally supposed to start with Luke's severed hand floating through space, clutching his lightsaber.
Oh, wow.
I will read you guys the quote. It says, "As my hand hurtled through the stratosphere, the flesh and bone burn away and the lightsaber impales the surface of an unnamed planet."
What? That's how they was going to start it?
Wouldn't the lightsaber burn up too, though? Like
don't wait. Can you light a lightsaber in space? You know, I think we should know these things about lightsaber. We all call lightsaber radio, but I don't think it could be on in space. Well, I don't know. It wasn't. If you think about it in Clone Wars, there were several times that the lightsaber was on in space, so I guess it can. I answered my own question. Yes, it can.
I think it could be on, but like if it's entering an atmosphere, like traveling at hundreds of miles an hour, right? The hand burns up, the lightsaber will probably burn up too, unless it's made out of like some crazy metal. But like, you know, asteroids that enter the Earth's atmosphere like burn up. You know what I mean? Like giant ones get a lot smaller. So it's like,
the more I thought about it, the less sense it made. We have also had a new character teased for the Obi-Wan series. Kumail Nanjiani, the star of Marvel's The Eternals, will be making his Star Wars debut in the Kenobi series. We know this from the casting announcement a couple of months ago. But in an interview, he recently spoke publicly about what exactly his character will be. And he said, "We haven't seen this exact thing in Star Wars yet. This is like a new version of a type of Star Wars character we've seen before."
Wow.
Could he be any more cryptic?
Yeah, you didn't tell us anything.
I don't know. That
obviously, people have been theorizing to the absolute max, but a Wookiee, a droid.
Just make it good. Well, see, he's like, it's a new version of something we've seen. So just make it good. Don't, like, for the sake of trying to be new and exciting, don't ruin, like, what's already been done. Don't, like, contradict earlier Star Wars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, keep it, like, consistent.
All we ask for in Star Wars is consistency, and we definitely don't get it.
Not never.
Also, if any of our listeners have little ones, a new series dropped on the Star Wars Kids YouTube channel this week, The Galaxy of Creatures, that I spoke about a few weeks ago. I watched the first episode because I am small baby. And we see the intrepid explorer droid SFR-3 traverse the galaxy on behalf of the Galactic Society of Creature Enthusiasts to meet familiar creatures. And this episode, it was Porgs and Banthas, and it's so adorable and so sweetly animated.
So it's like the Aussie guy, but with Star Wars.
Yeah.
Look over there. Right over there. That's a flock of Porgs.
Oh my god, Steve Irwin in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, it's Steve Irwin going around looking at Star Wars stuff. That's going to be great. I'll watch that.
And I think the only other thing that I gathered, this was taken from Screen Rant and posted a couple of days ago. It's not exactly news. It's more just a sort of revelation. We all remember Snoke.
Yeah.
And turns out his face was modeled off the late actor Peter Cushing. When J.J. Abrams sat down and decided that he wanted Snoke to look like this, the artist who created it used a sculpt of Cushing's head as part of the inspiration, which is why Snoke looks weirdly familiar. I don't know if it has anything to do with the story. I just thought that was pretty cool.
I posted a meme a while back on the Sway Instagram, and it's like it has Chip from Beauty and the Beast and Snoke. And it says, this is who Snoke really was.
No.
Bro.
Chip grew up to be Snoke.
Darius in the chat said, Bear Grylls telling you how to survive on random planets and shit like that would be so good. That would be funny. He's on Hoth. Here we have a Tauntaun. We need to cut it open and crawl inside.
We're
here on Mustafar. What you basically need is a robot suit made from Emperor Palpatine.
Don't fall into the lava, right? Don't.
Stay away from the lava.
Sorry, that's really tickled me. I'm so sorry.
I like that. That's good.
I still think Snoke was a cross between Palpatine and who the hell, the big blue people. What are they called? Man, my brain is not working the last couple weeks.
Kaminoans or whatever?
Yeah, Kaminoans. I think they spliced them together and that's how they got Snoke, because Snoke was kind of tall and skinny and then had this weird shaped head and kind of looked like Palpatine a little bit. Yeah, I think it was a cross.
I feel like they had potential with Snoke. Like, he could have been some cool story. And then it was like, oh, he was just some random, like, clone thing, whatever. Let's just get back to Palpatine.
Well, my thing is he was just the weakest Sith Lord ever. That dude didn't know that he was going to cut him in half.
I legit thought, watching the movie, when they killed him, I was like, oh, he was probably, like, a hologram or something, like he's gonna be like behind the door or something. Like, he's gonna be like, psych, you thought you killed me. No, they actually killed him. And I was like, wow.
Okay. Darius said a chiss. No, it's not a chiss. It was Kaminoan. Is Kaminoans blue? What color are the Kaminoans?
Blue.
Yeah, they're blue, ain't they?
Like a pale blue.
That's what I always thought it was.
What else we got? Is that it?
I'll be honest, I think that was me done. I spent hours this morning.
Got a question for y'all though. This has to do with news. There was an article out on Screen Rant, and it said in Ahsoka's Disney Plus show, in the show, should Ahsoka go to Exegol? Do you guys think that could be something that could be done? I don't think it'll follow with the storyline.
Nah.
I didn't read the article, but I don't think it will follow with the storyline, because if she goes to Exegol, then she's going to find Sidious. That's not going to fit with the storyline of what's going on. That's like too soon, because her story
is. She dies.
I mean, that's a possibility. But she still got to get Thrawn and Ahsoka, I mean, and Ezra and all that going on. So, like, that kind of doesn't really, it doesn't fit to me.
No.
But unless they do it in the first season and there's only one season and this is really not a series. It's a, like, a what they call them, like, five films that they just cut them up into.
Yeah, like a mini-series.
Yeah, mini-series. If that's all they're doing, then yeah, she might be able to do that. But I don't think it'll fit. But I ain't have no news today. I was too busy. I was too busy trying to deal with the technical part of the podcast to get everything right. So I guess we should.
Let's see. I'm not excited.
I think it will be easier than last week's.
Huh?
Will it be easier than last week?
No.
No, of course. This is how it's going to be right here. That's exactly how it's going to be. Like, what?
Oh, you got to play the thing.
Yep, I'm going. Yes. I'm getting to it. I gotta click buttons and stuff. Okay.
Y'all aren't ready.
I'm not ready.
This week is somewhat droid themed.
Oh, I'm screwed.
I'm screwed out. Like, I should stop calling myself a Star Wars fan, because I don't know the answer to none of these questions.
Question number one. In the manufacture and sale of droids, who are the big two companies?
The industry
giants.
Oh, holy crap.
Galactic Droids and Mars. And I don't know the other one. So that's not right.
Is the Trade Federation one of them?
No.
No? No, it's like, oh, no, it's like something is at your disposal account. Is that it? In the second one?
I'll give it to you guys. It is Cybot Galactica and Industrial Automation.
Oh, I wouldn't have gotten that. Never mind. I'm off.
Question number two. Other than Sith, what alien language does C-3PO struggle to replicate?
The Ewok language.
Far out.
No.
It's not the Ewok language?
Mandalorian.
Mandalorian, no.
I'm pretty sure Mandalorian just speak basic.
I don't know. Maybe it has some kind of other secret language.
Maybe he has a problem with basic, you know, because he's always messing up his words. Let's see here.
You watch your language.
I don't know.
No, one of the biggest language that C-3PO struggles to replicate is Twi'lek. Because he doesn't have any Leku, and their Leku are an essential part of micro-communication. And it's something that C-3PO is unable to...
You can't use telekinesis. That's a language.
Yeah. Oh! splitting hairs. Question number three. From his time on Kashyyyk, what did C-3PO invent to further improve human and Wookiee relations?
What did he create?
Yeah, he invented something.
Translator.
He invented a... Yes!
Oh,
yeah.
I heard that in a book. I knew that from one of the books.
He invented a miniaturized translator droid called MTD. Question number four. Why
is... I was going to say maybe a razor.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's favorite. Question number four. Why is C-3PO so twitchy and nervous?
Because he keeps getting blown apart and tore apart. Getting his arms ripped off and stuff.
No, there is a genuine, like, technical reason he is this way.
Because Anakin was a Dark Lord of the Sith and caused him to be weird when he created him.
No.
Yeah, he was made by a 10-year-old.
Yeah, he was made. He has hepatitis C. No. No.
A little bit of syphilis. Droid syphilis.
Oh, God, no. No. So, C-3PO's hyper-alertness is a byproduct of a limited field of vision. His eye receptors are so small he can't see properly, so he's always stressed and panicking.
Great. That's messed up. Why would they make a droid that had some mental or some physical disabilities? I wanted to say
thing.
That right, because I was about to say the other word, and I didn't want to do that.
C-3PO... I think he was never meant to be used the way C-3PO was used, so I think his neurosis and his anxiety obviously intensified as his life progressed. Most translator droids aren't used like that.
Maybe he's got, like, PTSD, because I think a lot of times we forget. In episode 2, he saw some intense combat.
Obi-Wan has it, and so does 3PO.
And then, he gets to, Luke gives him the Jabba, and he has to go through all that.
Yeah.
And he gets like, blown out of a thing.
He's been through some shit.
He gets his head put on one of those Roger droids.
He gets blown apart, and Empire Strikes Back. He gets ripped apart or whatever. Like, there's a
R2-D2
bad issues.
R2-D2 stops speaking to him for like 10 years.
Think he's stressed out. He got some stress issue. He needs some Prolosec, OTC. Got some gas issues.
Man needs some Xanax, damn. I am going to move on. Question number five. This is a Legends question. Who was in charge of protecting Leia's children at the secret rebel base on Anor?
C-3PO.
Right area. Right area.
They had a nanny droid.
Yes.
They had a nanny droid. I just can't remember what the droid's name was.
She is an XL Lioness TDL nanny droid.
And she's pretty dope.
Yeah. She's got guns in like her legs that she can pull out and four arms to hold the baby and shoot the guns.
It's in the Young Jedi series.
Question number six. At the entrance to Jabba's palace, we meet what can only be described as an eyeball on a stick. What's the name of this droid?
What's the name of it?
Yeah, what's its name?
It has an actual name?
Yeah.
Thought it was just annoying.
It is a legitimate droid that was put into mass production.
Oh,
and
what?
It has a name.
IBSTICK.
Not close.
I have no idea.
No, this weird little eye stick is a TT-8L, TT-8L or Tattletail.
Oh, wow. It's a Tattletail droid.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
He's a rat.
He is an absolute, he's a snitch, little snitch. Question number 7. What farmyard animal is responsible for the unsettling Tuscan Raider screech that Garrison likes to do so much?
A goat.
Close.
A horse? No.
Oh. Huh?
A yak. Yakety yak, don't talk back.
A donkey.
Yes, Garrison.
There's a donkey.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, you really got it.
Going hee haw.
A donkey.
Star Wars is sweet. Insane.
Why did I just take a rock?
Winnie the Pooh. Jackasses.
Why was I just thinking of Winnie the Pooh? Eeyore.
Oh my god, I want to redub the Tuscan Raiders with Eeyore.
Oh, bother.
Okay. Okay. Kyle, don't laugh like that because it gets me.
All right.
Question number 8. Which iconic Star Wars droid has a pair of gynecological forceps as part of their design?
The fuck?
If anybody needs reminding, forceps are the gigantic plier-shaped thing that look like big spoons.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the one that gave birth to the one that helped Padme give birth, right?
No.
No. Oh.
No, it's on the back of his head.
I'll give you a clue. It's one of the first droids we meet in Star Wars.
One of the first droids we meet in Star Wars.
Like. Chronologically, or like
yeah.
The time they came out?
No. In the time they came out, I apologize.
So, one of the first droids we meet in A New Hope.
Is it one of the ones in like the Jawa little ship thing?
No. I'll give you one more clue. This droid is on the Death Star. Not the Death Star. The Death Star. Yes, the Death Star.
The probe droid?
Yes.
Oh, let's go.
Yes, it's the IT-0 interrogator droid, the one that hovers into Leia's chambers and goes woo. It has a massive pair of forceps on top of its head.
That's because it's about
like the needle.
It's about to spread them open. You know what I'm saying?
That, Kyle,
that way
please.
You can get the truth. You're gonna tell me the truth, damn it. We're gonna give you the shot. We're gonna spread you wide open. Poor Leia. They just not only did they drugged her, then they.
I want to remind people that she survived the ITO interrogation droid.
What a stud.
Kenobi!
That's
what she was screaming. That's what she was screaming right there.
I have anxiety. Don't ever do that to me again. Question number 9. Why is Poe's X-Wing painted black and orange?
Excuse me?
Halloween.
Black and orange? I thought it was gray and orange.
No, it's black and orange.
It was camo for a planet that he was fighting on.
No. Oh, so yes.
Oh.
Close. Oh.
Camo for like a nebula that he was fighting around. Like,
Kyle, any guesses?
I want to say, nah, that's not right. I don't know.
Poe's X-Wing is a stealth ship. The colors scatter the First Order scanners. Stops them being visible. You were so close.
I don't know. You should get that. You said camouflage. That's basically
I guess. My first instinct was to give you the point. So question number 10.
Trust your instincts.
I do trust your instincts. Question number 10. Why does Ki Adi Mundi have such a large head?
He has a second brain.
Yeah. Well.
Oh no! It's a second heart. Sorry.
You can have the point. He has an extremely complex brain, which is powered by two hearts.
Yeah.
You said brain and heart, so yeah.
All right. He's got the second heart because.
I thought this last question would be quite funny. How much does you're gonna have to remind me? Do you guys work in kilograms or do you work in pounds? Because I can't.
Pounds.
We work in pounds.
In pounds. Brilliant. How much?
No. We work in stones.
I do work in stone.
Work in stone? No.
How much does Jabba the Hutt weigh in pounds?
950 pounds.
No.
1,600.
No.
It's actually when he had to start riding around on the thing, he was over a ton. He was like one ton or something like that, if I remember right, what I read in the book. So that's 2,000 pounds.
You know what? Hang on a second. Like, oh no.
It was more than that.
Yeah.
2 tons? I thought it said 1 ton. I might. It's been a long time.
Are you Googling, Garrison? Because it looks like you're Googling.
No, I'm not.
Cheater, you Googling. Google.
According to a variety of sources, Jabba the Hutt weighs roughly 2,994 pounds.
Holy crap.
I know one of the books that I was listening to, they describe it. He got so big, that's the reason he had a hover platform that he had to be on, because he couldn't slither no more because he was so fat.
I'm surprised that thing even held him up.
It was made by a droid manufacturer, the one that I should have knew the name of earlier.
They cut off the back of a Star Destroyer and just put that underneath him.
Yeah.
That's how much force was required.
The conflict. You had conflict with gravity.
Oh, you guys did so good this week.
Actually, knew a couple answers like this week.
You actually knew some answers. I'm gonna have to go back into my Star Wars books. I am. Not doing enough, not doing good enough.
I ordered the Star Wars Everything You Don't Know About Star Wars Encyclopedia.
Stop.
I'm about to start studying. The crazy thing is I've listened to like 200 Star Wars books. Most of this crap I should know, and I'd be like,
yep.
I think I heard about that one time before, but I can't tell you the answer. But that's life.
Yeah,
also, for everybody, I will cut off the part of the beginning of the episode and repost it to YouTube so everybody can watch it without us getting kicked off or using copyrighted material. We love you, Star Wars, Disney.
Love you, Lucasfilm.
YouTube.
Oh, man. I think it's been a really good episode this week, guys. I've had so much fun.
I'm excited. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting. I was expecting the Legos to be a lot worse.
I didn't think that the show was going to be that bad, but I also didn't think we was going to get out. I didn't think we was going to get kicked off of YouTube for doing a watch party, but I didn't know shit.
Well, it's a learning curve.
It is. But I think that's all we got for today. You guys got anything else?
No.
Oh, I think we're good.
I think it's time to say goodbye and farewell. And as always, tune in next week. You can find us on Twitch. You can hopefully find us on YouTube and on all major streaming platforms. For more hijinks and mischief from the crew here at LSR, be safe, be kind, and may the Force be with you always. Thank you for tuning into LSR. If you enjoyed the show, consider subscribing so you can be notified when new episodes are released. If you would like to be a guest on the show or just want to give us some feedback, feel free to email us. You can also reach out to us on all major social media platforms. They're linked in the show notes below. Lightsaber Radio is produced by Pick Film Media and is a Swaycast original, starring Charlie Harwood, Garrison Turcotte, CJ Elliott, and Carl McDaniel. And don't forget to join us next time for more adventures in a galaxy far, far away.